Life is filled with ands. We wake up and we get ready. We get ready and we go to work. Or we get ready and we go to school. We go to school and we go to practice. We go to work and we run errands. Or we run the kids to practice. We come home and cook dinner. We cook dinner and clean. We clean and relax. We relax and go to bed. We go to bed and wake up, and the whole routine starts again. Life is filled with ands. On a day-to-day basis, there is and after and after and. And there's ands in life, too. You go to high school, you graduate, and go to college. You go to college and get a job. You date and marry. You marry and you have kids. You have kids and run them to all their activities. You work and you retire. Life is filled with ands until there are no more ands. And the and is replaced with a period, the period of death. At one point in my life, the sentence will read, "Stephen Apt died, period." And there's no more ands. It's that period of death that hangs over each and every one of us. It's the gloom of death. It's what causes us so much fear. It causes us to hear the news the news of the world and become alarmed and afraid, because that period of death is always lingering in the back of our mind when there's no more ands. And for those of you who have lost a loved one, you know what this is like, that there's no more ands with them, because the period of death is so final. That period of death is what Jesus' followers, his friends, and his family experienced on that first Easter weekend. A week before Easter, all of the Jewish people from all over the world, if they could travel to Jerusalem, they traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Thursday night, Jesus' family, his friends, his followers, they went to bed Thursday night, and they woke up the next morning to the news that overnight Jesus had been arrested, charged with false crimes, and had already been condemned to death by the time they woke up. By 9 in the morning on Friday, Jesus had been dragged out of the city and crucified. And by 3 p.m., he died. And from there, two of Jesus' disciples took his body off the cross and placed him in a tomb, which was a cave, and they rolled in front of the cave this huge stone. And because it was a Sabbath day, they couldn't prepare his body for burial. And so that's where we pick up this morning. Mark chapter 16, it is early Sunday morning as some of Jesus' followers, the women, go to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for burial. Here's what we're told. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Imagine being those women that morning. Maybe you can. Maybe you know what it's like to go to the cemetery to say goodbye to a loved one who had died. The period of death is there, the final goodbye. This is what the women were doing. They were on their way to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for burial. Imagine the grief. Imagine the sorrow in their heart. Their loved one, Jesus, was dead. There are no more ands to be had. They were supposed to be in Jerusalem and go back to Galilee with him, but there's no more and. He was supposed to come to this earth and be their Messiah and bring the kingdom, but there's no more ands. Jesus had died. The finality of death was there. And on their way, not only are they sad and grieving, they're also confused. How did this happen so quickly? What did happen? They're still in shock over how all of this transpired. And on their way, they have the question of who's going to open the tomb for us? There's a huge stone in the entrance of the tomb. Who's going to move it? And just then they look up. And what do they see? That giant stone had been rolled away. And when they looked into the tomb, they see a young man, an angel, dressed in white on the right side of the tomb, and he has a wonderful message. Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. What the message of Easter morning is, that first resurrection Sunday, what is it all about? Jesus died and rose. That's your first point today. Jesus died and rose. If there's one thing that the Romans knew how to do, it was identify a dead body. They knew how to kill somebody. In fact, they were great at it. And they were experts in crucifixion. And they knew, looking at the man on the cross, if he was dead or not, and they had all kinds of tests to see if he was dead or not. The Romans said Jesus was dead. You can take him off the cross. Jesus' followers were the ones who took him off the cross and placed him in the tomb. And that wasn't just a 5-minute process. They climbed up, had to take him down, hold his lifeless body, and then carry him to the tomb where they laid him. And not once did they feel the breath of life in him. Not once did Jesus move. His body was lifeless. He was dead. The finality of death was there. But what's the angel's message on Easter? He is not here. He has risen. Jesus completely changes the finality of death. He completely changes the period of death as he died and rose again. And for these women, Jesus turns the most sorrowful, gloomy place, a cemetery, into a place where there's joy, to a place where there's an abundance of happiness, because in this graveyard, Jesus died and rose again, and it has completely changed everything. It has changed everything for you. Jesus has changed that finality of the period of death, and now death has become a comma, a semicolon. There's an and after it. At one point in my life, and one point in yours, our sentence will read, Stephen Apt died, period. Insert your name. That's how it's supposed to be. Now, because of Jesus, it's Stephen Apt died, comma, and will rise again. Stephen Apt died and lives with Jesus. Because of Jesus, the period of death is no longer final. There's an and after death, and it's for you. But what kind of life are we going to rise to? Are we just going to come back to life and be on this earth with the sorrows that we currently have? No. And that's what Fanny Crosby knew. Fanny Crosby, when she was 6 years old, or 6 years old, 6 weeks old, came down with a sickness so severe that it left her blind. And yet she didn't let her blindness hold her back. She became one of the most prolific hymn writers of all time. She wrote over 8,000 hymns. Hymns like, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done. Hymns like, Blessed Assurance, Jesus Is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. She wrote over 8,000 hymns, and at one point, a well-meaning pastor said to her, "Fanny, God has blessed you so abundantly. He's given you so many gifts and talents. If only he would have given you your eyesight." And she said to him, "Pastor, if I could go back and pray for something that I would receive before I was born, it would be that I would be blind from birth. That way, the very first face that I would see ever is Jesus in heaven." You see, Fanny Crosby knew the hope of eternal life. She knew the resurrection, how the resurrection had changed from a period of death to a comma, and brings life eternal, a glorious life where everything sad comes undone. Where if you are blind, you will see. If you are lonely, you will be filled with the presence of Jesus. If you are unsatisfied and discontent, you will be satisfied and overflowing with satisfaction forever. And the ands will go on for eternity. We will stand before the throne of God and sing him praises. We will be filled with joy and happiness forever. We will hug and never let go, because the ands never stop, because Jesus changed the finality of death. And that's for you. Jesus has changed the period of death in your life. Because he rose, you too will rise. There is no finality for you. You will live forever because of Jesus. This is the hope of Easter. This is the hope of the resurrection. That first resurrection Sunday has changed everything. But there's one more "and" I want to talk to you about before we close up. And it's the "and" of the angel's message. The angel says, "Go and tell my disciples and Peter." Isn't Peter one of the disciples? Why doesn't the angel just say, "Go and tell the disciples"? Why "and Peter"? What had Peter done about 72 hours before this? About 72 hours, the night before Jesus died, Peter had promised to Jesus, "Even if all of these guys fall away on account of you, not me, I never will. I will go with you even to death." And just a few hours after that, Peter is standing in a courtyard, denying that he knows Jesus 3 times. And the very last time he saw Jesus, he was in the middle of cursing, calling down curses on himself, saying, "I don't know that man." And he turns and he looks, and who's staring at him out the window, being falsely accused of crimes? Jesus. How do you think Peter felt that morning? Ashamed, embarrassed, guilty, and with the thought, "I will never be able to say sorry. I will never see him again." The finality of death was there. But Jesus changed all that. "Go and tell my disciples and Peter." Shakespeare, in his play Julius Caesar, has Julius Caesar saying one of the most famous lines in all of Shakespeare's play. As Julius Caesar is dying, he looks at his friend Brutus and says, "Et tu, Brute? And you, Brutus?" It was a phrase of confusion, a phrase of betrayal, a phrase of shock. And that's how that relationship ended, in betrayal. And that's how Peter's would have ended if it wasn't for the fact that Jesus died and rose again. And now Jesus says, "And you, Peter," but it's not of shock and confusion. It's a totally different tone. "And you, Peter," it's a tone of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness. This is for you, even you, Peter. And that's what Jesus wants you to know today. And it's your last point. The resurrection is for everyone and you. I could have just said everyone, just like Jesus could have said, "Go and tell the disciples." But you know what we have a problem doing? Is being little Peters, where we like to say, "Oh, this is for everyone else, but not for me." No, no, no. Jesus died and rose again, and it's for everyone and you. For you who haven't been to church since last Easter. For you who were in church last week. For you who've lived a completely immoral life. For you who've lived a moral life. For you who have failed your family, failed your spouse, failed your God. For you who are on the straight and narrow, it's for you. The hope of the resurrection is for you. And what is the resurrection accomplished? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 4. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins, but was raised to life for our justification. When Jesus died, he died for our sins, and when he rose from the dead, God looks at you and me and says, I declare you not guilty. You are innocent of all charges that sin would bring against you. Jesus died and rose again, and it's for you. And Jesus loves to tell you how forgiven and loved that you are, and the hope that you have of the resurrection, because your sins have been washed away. Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see them. Jesus tells you today, he's going up to heaven, and there he will see you, because Christ has changed the finality of death. The period is no longer there. It's a comma, and you will live forever. And this is for you. No matter who you are, no matter your background, Christ died, Christ rose. It's for you. This is a hope of Easter, because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what joy fills our hearts today that the grave was empty. Jesus was not there. He is risen just like he said he would. And because he rose from the dead, we have hope and hope eternal. No matter what happens in this life, we have the next to look forward to, and it's a life that is filled with ands that will never end. Joy, happiness, praise, hugs that will never end. That goes on and on and on, and we're so thankful for that. We're thankful for Jesus and what he accomplished in this world. There are so many things that cause us to be alarmed. There's so many things that cause us fear, and yet that fear has been removed because death has been taken away forever. Right now, you promise that we will have ands forever, and we can't be more excited. We can't be more filled with joy. Fill us with abundance of hope as we live in this world. Let people see the hope that we have, and when they ask about it, it's the hope of the resurrection that fills our hearts now and forever. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.